In the name of God, Creator, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. All I have is a voice to undo the lie. All I have is a voice to undo the lie. This is the opening line from a poem by W.H. Auden. The poem was entitled September 1, 1940. What's the lie? All those dark things we refuse to face, whether personally, but also corporately. We just can't bear to look and say something needs to be done here, or something is off, or something needs to be changed. We just want to turn away and hope that it goes away. September 1, 1940, some of you may remember, was the day on which the Nazis invaded Poland and initiated World War II. Do some of you also recall that Time magazine, Man of the Year, in 1938, was Adolf Hitler? He gets things done. All I have is a voice to undo the lie. Our friend Richard Kemmerer died this week. For those of you who don't know, Richard is the artist who created this space, painted the mural, banners. Over the years, when we would converse about this kind of thing, he would say, "You have words, I have paint. All I have is a paintbrush to undo the lie." So this is an undoing of the lie. Annie Haynes died a year ago. Believe that? For those of you who didn't know Annie, she was quite a character. I would ask her, "Annie, what do you use?" She would say, "All I have are my questions to undo the lie. All I have is my laughter to undo the lie." What do we have? What do you have? Hands, heart, mind, caring, whatever it is, and as small as it may seem, it is critical that we exercise what we've been given. In our text for today, Abram asks God, "Do I have a future?" Which is our question. Right? Do we have a future? And God says, "Go out under the night sky, drink in all the stars, and understand that your descendants will be far more abundant than all you can behold in the heavens." Abram trusted God's promise. And then Abram asked, "Will I have land?" And God says, "All right, you need to prepare a few things for this. So go out, get a heifer, she-goat, ram, pigeon, and turtle dove. carve them in half. Lay the halves opposite each other and wait for me. Which is what Abram did. All night long. Chasing away the birds of prey which would swoop down to feast on the carcasses. And then in the mystery of the night, this fire pot, it's often translated, it's a censer like this. Coals, fire, and sweet smelling incense came passing through the carved animal. And the ancients knew what that meant. God is saying, let the fate of these animals be mine. If I do not deliver to you on the promises I've made. This is making covenant. Very, very important. Covenant is not cutting a deal, making a contract, coming to an agreement. Covenant is a unilateral commitment on my part to deliver to you whatever it is I promise, no matter what you do to me. Even if you turn your back and walk away, I will continue to bless you, no matter what. You can never stop the gift of my blessings of you. Never. No matter what you choose, no matter how you behave. Now we are quite taken, aren't we, with this image of that sacrifice? I mean, when you look at that, wow. That's heavy-duty, grim, isn't it? Carving animals. I am absolutely positive that no more than four families at peace have ever done this in their backyards. Yeah, that's just... Whoa. Which is kind of surprising. In light of the way in which we, human beings in our times, like to carve others up. Don't you think? Like the work zone. Ever see people get carved up at work? Or at school? In our families? About the neighborhoods, carve them up very nicely, don't we? This is a good place to live. That's not so good. Don't go near those people. I'm just letting you know the carving. We carve up nations. Carve up each other. Kind of ironic, isn't it? That we think that sacrifice is grim. Jesus is applying this teaching to Jerusalem today. Great city, ancient city, successful city, like all other great cities. And he says, oh, Jerusalem, you that stone and kill the prophets sent to you. Why? Because the prophets had a voice. They gave voice to the truth. They exposed the lie, the degradation of land and earth. Don't do that. The violence of an economy, which benefited those on top so well. It was really good if you're on the top. Exploited and discarded the poor. Part of the carving has to be done. And eventually Jesus himself gets carved up, doesn't he? For exposing pretense and ignorance and violence and the absurdity of all of our lies. And in its place exchanges this sweet smelling compassion. Give it to me. Give all that garbage here. Enjoy the compassion which can be yours. Jesus is not the answer. He is an indictment. Like all the prophets, against all the lies. But this indictment presses for mercy. Stop the carving. Mercy. Rich designed this processional cross too. Years before we ever arrived on this site. And what's cool about it are two things. As you know, all the crosses at Peace you can see through, right? The whole point, to see the world through the cross, is what we were working with. And on this one, of course, the figure of the Christ. But you can get two very powerful images. One is the suffering Christ, who meets us in the anguish, which we all know. We prefer to cover it up, but that can't be done. And simultaneously, there's also the dancing Christ, who says healing is possible. New life can begin now, even if we aren't in the mood for it. Possible. Well, some years ago, truly back in the day, 1988. Can you remember back that far? Rich and my father and I were asked to create a multimedia theater piece for the Constituting Convention of the National Lutheran Church Body, the ELCA. So this is going to occur in Columbus, Ohio. And for this project, we had a 90-foot screen and stage in which to work. And so we contacted a lighting company to assist in that. And after hearing the project for a 90-foot screen back in 1988, the lighting company said, that's impossible. We can't do what you're asking. And Rich said, impossible, impossible. Oh, you mean you've never done it before. That's faith, isn't it? Ended up with 22 separate slide projectors up on the balcony projecting on this 90-foot screen to make it happen. And as part of that event, we went to Trinity Seminary, there in town in Columbus, and had made arrangements to borrow their processional cross for this event. But when he and I arrived, we were running errands in the afternoon, just pick it up and go. The dean of the chapel and an associate met us at the door and said, excuse us, but friends, we've had second thoughts, and I'm sorry, we're just not able to loan you this cross because, well, the truth is, you know, a patron of the seminary donated it, and this cross is worth $4,000. And if anything should happen to it, so you understand. And Rich and I looked at each other. Rich turned back to them and said, oh, yes, Yes, it's clear. We understand. You know the price, but you sure don't know the value. Amen. The peace which surpasses all human understanding, your hearts and your minds, in Christ Jesus.